one of the most influential people in my life. When I think of Mount Rushmore, and I think of the Mount Rushmore of people that changed my life, the most influential people that really had an impact, Brother Hovind is on that Mount Rushmore for me. And I know it's not just me. It's people all over the world that have gotten somehow stumbled across his video, heard him live, or seen something that he's preached, and it piqued something in them that they wanted to know more. And he took them on that journey to learn the truth of the Bible. And one of the most important things I think you could do, because I did it when I went to Hiles Anderson in 2005 and I first heard Brother Hovind, I bought his videos, the 7 series. I love video 6, Brother, the Hovind Theory. That's my favorite. It's always been. And he has a table out here. And I recommend, if you can, pick up one of those sets of his videos, because it will change your life. It'll give you the proper perspective on this world and your place in it. And thank you for your years of faithful ministry and teaching, and what you said, the ability to take something complicated and break it down so that we can understand it and enjoy listening to it at the same time. Brother Hovind, please come speak to us.
See, according to evolution, things get better automatically, but I can't get it to work for me. Okay, it's coming on. All right, how many were here in the room for Sunday school in this room? How many were not here in this room for Sunday school? And how many do not understand the question so far? All right, well, good. Glad to have you. My name's Ken Hovind. I've been a Baptist preacher 49 years. I was taught high school science and math for 15 years and started a ministry on science and the Bible back in 1989. I traveled all over the world speaking on this topic, creation versus evolution. Did 336 debates against atheists. I got one more next week. We're going to try to get to 500 before I die. What happened? Oh, no. Brother, do you have power up here? My battery needs... He said he was going to plug me in somewhere. Oh, good. Okay. There. Ah, that explains.
Reboot.
Reboot, yeah. You know, boot is a good name for it. That's what you feel like doing some days with the computer, don't you? Anyway, I was raised in Illinois, in the Lutheran Church, the Methodist Church, the Mennonite Church. And when I was 16, a friend of mine said, Kent, if you died today, where would you go? I said, well, let's see. I've been baptized, catechized, homogenized, circumcised. What else? What else you got to do? He said, have you ever sinned? Have you ever broken any of God's laws? Well, yeah. Well, then you're going to hell. I said, well, isn't God going to put my good works against my bad works? It's, you know, kind of a teeter-totter kind of thing. He said, what judge on earth would do that? If you murdered somebody and you went to court and said, Judge, I did murder the guy, but look at all the people I did not murder. Shouldn't that kind of outweigh the one I did? You think he would let you off? No. Anyway, that's when I gave my heart to the Lord. So I talked this morning in Sunday school, for those that weren't here, there are two different theories about this earth we're standing on. The Bible clearly teaches it's about 6,000 years old, but the evolutionists teach it is billions of years old. There's a difference between 6,000 and billions. Congress doesn't understand that difference, but there is there's a difference, okay? So the evolutionists are teaching your kids in school, and I Googled during the break here, right within this area, Scranton, Wilkesburg, 570,000 people, over 500,000. I live in Lenox, Alabama, population 35. Our whole county has 12,000 people. We got excited last week because a car drove by. I mean, you guys get traffic here. We landed and had to go through New York traffic. You can have that whole town. There's somebody that you can reach right around here. And I want to challenge you before I take off or catch my plane to find something to do for the Lord. Kids are being taught junk like this in your public school, aren't they? That all animals are related? In my debates, I often ask the atheists, I'll say, now, I show them the chart. I say, do you believe you're related to a potato? Oh, yeah. Professor Dave. I said, are you related to a strawberry? He said, oh, yeah, yeah. They really think this is true. They're related to these things. Now, Bible-believing Christians don't buy this, but the evolutionists teach all animals in the world came from a single dot. The whole world, all the stars. Not only all the stars were in that dot, all the energy, all the heat. How hot is the sun, do you think, if you were standing on it? Pretty hot. Plus, it's been burning for a long time. Let's take all that heat the sun has ever produced. We got to put that in that dot. Not just the sun, but all the other stars. So that dot had to have the energy and the mass of everything. So kids are given a book like this in kindergarten, or before kindergarten, preschool. I can read about dinosaurs. Would anybody like to guess what the first sentence in the book says? Millions of years ago. That's calling Jesus a liar. Didn't Jesus say the creation of Adam was the beginning? Didn't Jesus say nothing died till Adam sinned? Does it bother you that they're calling Jesus a liar right here in your town and you're paying for it in the schools? Maybe that doesn't bother you. But all the books will start off like this. Millions of years ago, millions of years ago, dinosaurs roamed the earth. Christians have totally given the dinosaur topic over to the atheists, and those are God's creatures. Even Dr. Seuss, not hundreds of years, not thousands of years, but millions of years. There it is. Kids have already been brainwashed into looking at life with false, preconceived ideas before they can even read. Before they can read, they think dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. Satan has done a wonderful job of taking God's creatures and using them against God. Now, it's easy to get brainwashed. I'm going to try to brainwash the whole crowd. Maybe you've never been brainwashed before. I'll show you how easy it is. If a kid goes 12 to 16 years to public school, goes to college, and he's going to believe it. I'm going to brainwash all of you. I'll tell you two short stories to brainwash you, and I'll brainwash you as I tell the story. Okay? When I'm done, I'm going to ask you some questions to see if it worked, if you got brainwashed. You ready? Here goes. Guard against it now. Don't let me brainwash you. The detective entered the room and found Ted and Alice dead on the floor. The cat was on the back of the couch with his back arched high and hissing angrily. The detective deduced correctly that the cat was guilty of killing both Ted and Alice. How did he know? Let's try the story one more time. Now, don't let me brainwash you, okay? The detective entered the room and found Ted and Alice dead on the floor. The cat was on the back of the couch with his back arched high and hissing violently. The detective concluded correctly that the cat was guilty of killing both Ted and Alice. How did he know? Anybody figure it out? The rest of you got brainwashed. Well, let me answer it for you. Ted and Alice were the goldfish. See, hold it. When I said he found Ted and Alice dead on the floor, you started thinking about two people, didn't you? I never said that. It's that easy to get brainwashed. It is so easy, okay? I'll brainwash you a second time. You ready? Here goes. Now guard against it. Once upon a time, a man left home jogging. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways, turned left, and jogged back home. As he was jogging home, he noticed two masked men waiting for him at home. Who were the masked men, and why did he leave home jogging? Now, if you know, don't say it out loud. Just raise your hand. Why, brainwashed almost everybody. Let's try it again. Okay, ready? Once upon a time, a man left home jogging. He jogged a little ways and turned left. I'll give you a hint. That is important. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways and turned left and jogged back home. As he was jogging home, he noticed two masked men waiting for him at home. Who were the masked men, and why did he leave home jogging? Anybody new, figure it out. Don't say it out loud. Anybody new? One more, two more. Okay. The rest of you, pay attention. I'm going to unbrainwash you. You ready? Once upon a time, a man left home jogging. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways and turned left and jogged back home. As he was jogging home, he noticed two masked men waiting for him at home. Who were the masked men? A catcher and the umpire. Why did he leave home jogging? He hit a home run. It is that easy. Satan loves to use God's creatures to brainwash all the kids in your county to believing the earth is billions of years old. They got here by evolution. God did not create this world. It's a giant brainwashing program. And he's winning. And somebody in this crowd ought to say, you know, I'm going to put a stop to that. Do something. Okay? I was 16 years old, growing up in a family of engineers and teachers. I gave my heart to the Lord, February 9, 1969, during my sophomore year at high school, East Peoria High School. I was a pretty popular kid in school, had my own car, Volkswagen. That Volkswagen would go 0 to 60 eventually. I was a high school chess champ. I earned Eagle Scout. I was number 3 on the tennis team. I finally had to give up tennis when they outlawed asbestos. Because I used to hit the ball so fast it would catch fire. Had to use a special asbestos ball. People don't believe me when I tell them that. How many of you don't believe me also? Okay. Never mind. Okay. I majored in math and science. I built several houses. My daddy taught us everything. I knew how to do electrical and plumbing and heating and construction by the time I was in, 10th grade. I had a great dad. I've now done 336 debates with atheists defending the Bible as being scientifically accurate and showing that evolution is the dumbest and most dangerous religion, and it's a religion, in the history of the world. My two-minute answer that I gave to the atheist question, where did God come from? Now somebody told me has 900 million views. Type in, where did God come from? By Kent Hovind. I like debating these guys. Somebody needs to straighten them out. Now, you say, Brehoven, did God call you? I don't know. Several generations ago, my grandparents came from Norway and migrated to Minnesota, and later to Wisconsin. There's a whole lot of Norwegians came to Minnesota and Wisconsin, okay? After the bombing of Pearl Harbor, my dad joined the Marines. He was a sergeant in the Marines, World War II. Marines took an island. Dad's platoon was supposed to go in there and set up a radar base to watch out for a counterattack. By the end of the war, he was the only survivor of his platoon. They'd all been killed. He married my mom, went to school to become an electrical engineer, got a job at Caterpillar Tractor in East Peoria, where he raised 3 boys and a girl. Mom taught kindergarten until she retired. She taught us early to read, read fast, read lots, understand what you read. Had a great dad, taught us everything. And like all good Norwegians, we were Lutheran for a while. And then we joined the Mennonite Church for a while, but since Mennonites frowned on war and my dad was in the war, World War II, they kind of felt uncomfortable, so we switched to Methodist Church for a couple of years. Now, I don't know if you know this, folks. There's only 2 religions in the whole world, Cain and Abel. Cain brought God an offering of fruit, vegetables. Hey, God, look what I did for you. God wouldn't take it, would he? Abel brought a sacrifice. Hey, God, would you take this sacrifice for my sin? God accepted that. Most religions are trying so hard to do exactly what Cain tried. They're trying to get to heaven by what they do. God, look what I did for you. I prayed. I climbed up the steps on my knees. I gave money to the church. I got baptized or whatever. It's the Cain religion all over again. Got a different label on it, Might be Lutheran or Methodist or something. But they're trying to please God. And they make good neighbors, but it doesn't make you a Christian. Are you doing what Cain did? Do you think you're going to heaven because of your good works? Well, you ain't going then. You go to heaven because of what Jesus did for you. You accept it. Navigator's Bible Study Group in Bloomington Normal, led my brother to the Lord. And he brought me down there to visit him for a while and to spend the weekend. My brother called me, hey, Kent, you want to come down to the college? I thought, my big brother wants me around? What's going on here? Something's wrong, How many of you had a big brother that kind of avoided you a little bit, Okay. So I went down there. They led me to the Lord, February 9, 1969. I went back to high school, started telling my friends, hey, I got saved last weekend. I gave my heart to the Lord, and poof, all my friends disappeared. What did I say? Took a shower last week and everything. I mean, come on now. One of the Christian girls in our school found out that I was telling people I gave my heart to the Lord. She invited me to come to her church. She said, Kent, would you like to visit my church? I said, what kind of church is it? She said, it's a Baptist church. I had never heard of a Baptist church. I said, what's that mean? She said, well, it means we believe the Bible and we teach the Bible. Okay. So Pastor Dawson at the Baptist church there, he was one of those kind of guys that banged on the pulpit and yet raised his voice. The Bible is the Word of God. I had never heard that in the Mennonite church or Methodist church. They were real quiet. They were afraid to wake God up, you know. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. Okay. Well, preacher, not Brother Dawson, man. He banged on the pulpit and screamed, the Bible's the Word of God. He had a gospel tape ministry. He had over 10,000 sermons. Back then it was on a cassette tape. And I had a little cassette player in my Volkswagen. He said, Kent, I'll loan you. Every week he'd give me 5 or 6 sermons by famous preachers. John R. Rice, Jack Hiles, you know, and some of the old timers, you know, Billy Sunday. And I'd listen to him when I drove to school. I was getting preached to probably 10, 15 times a week. I started growing in the Lord. They didn't bang on the pulpit, the churches I was raised in, okay? I was hooked. I began growing in the Lord as a new Christian, listening to sermons every week. Then moved to Pensacola, January of 89, started the ministry on science and the Bible. A guy called me from Missouri 7.5 years ago. He said, Kent, I love your videos on science. He said, I'd like to help your ministry. What's your next project? I said, well, we're trying to buy property and build a Christian camp, a museum, a science center, a theme park. Right now I'm landlocked in Pensacola. He said, have you found some property you want? I said, brother, I found some in Alabama. It's an old gravel pit. Nothing there but mud and a little bit of gravel. I said, it's 140 acres, but he wants $250,000 for it. Guy on the phone said, all right, I'll buy it for you. Just bought it, gave it to us. The old gravel pit in Lenox, Alabama. 17 lakes on the property. We didn't check all 17, but we did check lake number 5. And we know for sure the water goes all the way to the bottom. Yeah. You can come fishing down there. It's unbelievable. One of our guys caught a fish that far from the boat. Just the picture weighed 12 pounds. It took 4 guys to carry the picture. That's a big fish, ain't it? Yeah, okay. We've now built 25 cabins. People come stay in for free. We've had visitors from all over the world. Come take the real tour that I give on the Jeep or the side-by-side. We're straight north of Pensacola, 70 miles, right off I-65 if you're coming down that way. Come on down and visit Dinosaur Adventureland. It's amazing. We turned that old gravel pit into a place where people can come get saved. We think God ought to get the glory. We teach hundreds of science lessons and spiritual lessons. We teach the kids how to shoot a rubber band the scientific way. Did I do that the last time I was here?
Yeah.
The scientific way to shoot a rubber band. I think I have one left. Yeah. Okay, who's the smartest kid we got in the crowd here? You are? Come on up here, sir. Come on. Okay, what's your name? Elijah, how old are you, Elijah?
I'm 10.
10? How old are you going to be when you're almost 12?
11.
11. And how old were you when you were born?
0.
0. And how much does your mom pay you to be good?
None.
So you're 10?
Yeah.
You're 10 and you're good for nothing, right?
Yeah.
See how far you can shoot it toward the back door there? Shoot it regular, whatever you want to do it. Okay. Oh, my! Almost to my wife back there. Okay, now, wait a minute. Wait. Now, the science teacher shoots a rubber band. Okay? I want you to notice my fingers never leave my hand at any time. You ready? Can you bring them up here? Somebody bring them up here, please. The rubber bands. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Now, there is, believe it or not, come on up here, a scientific way to shoot a rubber band. But before I explain this, I need to explain something else. Some kids should not learn how to do this, because they will become a menace to society, a terrorist in the classroom. How many of you would say he's one of those kids that probably should not learn how to do this? Okay, you don't pay attention. The rest of you pay attention. Okay, this is one of the science lessons we teach at Dinosaur Adventureland. We got about 500 of them. There are two sides to the rubber band. Are you with me so far? Two sides to the rubber band. One represents your flesh, your body. The other is your spirit. Now, your spirit has to live in your flesh, or else you're dead. See, if your spirit ever leaves your flesh, you got a problem. Well, the neighbors have a problem a couple days later. Okay. What everybody does wrong in rubber band shooting, they stretch both sides the same. And when it flies through the air, the flesh and the spirit are fighting all the time. And it doesn't go very far, because all the energy is wasted on internal turbulence. And some of you, your flesh and spirit are fighting all the time, and you're not going to go very far for the Lord. The secret is, you put more emphasis on the spirit. You stretch one side tight, one side loose. One side tight, one side loose, and you let it spin through the air. I can shoot them 90 feet. If I'd known that in fifth grade, I'd still be in fifth grade right now. Thank you, sir. So, thank you, son. Have a seat. So, when I'm up here teaching and preaching, and I've got a rubber band in my pocket, and I know I can hit anybody in the room, it's a feeling of power that just is, some people can't handle that. You know? So behave back there. Okay. So, we have all kinds of lessons we teach. We just want to use science to glorify God. God gave me ability to learn science and math. I don't cook. I don't sew. I don't, you know. Maybe some of you could use whatever God has given you, use it for a ministry. Some of you could start a cooking ministry and use it to teach creation. All the different ingredients that have to go into a cake. And you could use that to teach, oh, God wants to put things into your life. God brings things into your life. He's trying to bake a cake out of you. Let him put this into your life. I don't know. Find a way to use whatever skills you have and do something for God. We got all kinds of activities there. 12,000 square foot science center. You can come see that activity. We have things in there in the science center. Our goal is to give God the glory for his creation. It's very simple. We have visitors come from all over the world. And we're in a town of 30 people. And we've had thousands of visitors, 270 baptized. Our little church, Genesis Baptist Church, only got 35 people in town. When we built the church, a guy donated the wood for the floor. They made the cross out of cedar in the middle of the floor. The rest is oak. The church donated the pews. I do YouTube there every night. Genesis Baptist Church. I'll be down there tomorrow night, Lord willing. Our taxidermy collection will blow your mind. All the animals the guy gave us. Find something to do for the Lord. The Bible says in the last days there would be scoffers who would be ignorant of the creation and the flood and the coming judgment of God. They're willingly ignorant of how God made the heavens. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old. See, there are three heavens now. We covered that in the Sunday school. There used to be only just one, and God sliced it up into three slices. We need somebody to teach. What was the creation like? Maybe you're good at artwork. Jack Chick, many years ago, said, Lord, you've given me the talent to draw comics. I want to use it for you. And he started making Chick tracks. How many of you have ever heard of them? Jack Chick, he was a friend of mine, died several years ago. They've made, I think, close, is it 500 billion? Unreal, the number of tracks, Jack, you know, copies of these tracks. Find something to do. I want to challenge you before I head out. Can't you go look in the mirror and say, God, what did you give me and how can I use it for you? God said, Moses, I want you to go get the people out of Egypt. He said, Lord, I can't do that. He said, what do you have in your hand, Moses? He said, a stick. He said, that's all you need. Come on, let's go. Didn't he? I'm going to get him out with a stick. We're talking about Pharaoh with his army. Yeah, a stick's all you need, man. Let's go. Now, God might call you to go talk to people that don't want to hear it. I go to universities and debate these atheists. They don't want to hear it, and I don't reach them. But they've been warned now. God may want you to go witness to somebody just so Judgment Day God can say, hey, come here. I told that guy to come tell you about the Lord, and he did. You didn't listen. Maybe it's just to keep God's hands clean. Jonah went to Nineveh. God said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. He said, no thanks. Went the other way. He spent 3 days in Whale Seminary and learned, I better go to Nineveh. Okay? Got puked up on shore and said, okay, Lord, which way is Nineveh? I'm ready to go now. Now, he preached, and he didn't want them to hear it. He wanted them to go to hell. They were wicked people, but they repented. I don't know who God's calling you to minister to, but there ought to be somebody. Scoffers are ignorant of the creation. They're ignorant of the flood. The world was overflowed with water. Back in 1830, they started teaching one of the dumbest things in world history. And your kids in this town are being taught this tomorrow in school. They started teaching the kids that the layers of the earth are different ages. How many heard of the movie Jurassic Park, named after the Jurassic layer? Did you know there is no such thing as a Jurassic layer? Did you know that whole geologic column, they made it up. It doesn't exist anywhere. They made it up in 1830. I've done a lot of debates with atheists. I'll say, guys, I got a question for you. You're telling me that all these layers are different ages. Yeah. I say, guys, I have a question. If the top layer is younger, where did it come from? I mean, did it come from outer space? Let me show you real slides real quick. We're going to run out of time here. I should have had this one ready. They tell the kids in school the layers are different ages. I say, I have a hard time believing that. I'll show you why. It's thinking. There we go. Okay. There. There is no such thing as a geologic column. The kids are being taught this like it's science. This isn't science. But this is the Bible for the atheist. And they're spreading their Bible faster than we're spreading ours. I bet if we took a survey of all 500,000 people in this county and asked them, was there such a thing as a Jurassic Age? They'd say, oh, yeah. And what lived in the Jurassic Age? Oh, the dinosaurs. No such thing. I say, guys, if the layers are different ages, where's that top layer coming from? Outer space? It doesn't exist. But most people have never thought to even question that. What? What do you mean the geologic column doesn't exist? Of course it does. No, it doesn't. I'll show you. All over the world, there are petrified trees that are standing up, petrified, running through all these layers. How long does a dead tree stand around here before it falls over? A couple years. Well, how do you explain a petrified tree standing up, running through all the layers? Come on now, the trees exist. I mean, they find them all over the world. Petrified trees standing up, connecting all these layers. And here we are teaching the kids, oh, these layers are different ages. Well, excuse me, I don't believe that. In central Alabama, there's a coal mine. You got coal mines here. You ought to do some checking on this. They find petrified trees running through all the different seams of coal. One tree connecting them all. Now, they're teaching the kids all the layers are different ages. And they'll say, well, this layer of coal is 27 million years old, and this one's 12 million years old. Stop. I don't believe that for a second. Here's a petrified tree running through a seam of coal. A friend of mine works in the coal mine in Birmingham. He said, Brother Hovind, we find them all the time. We're digging out the coal. We find petrified trees standing up. We have two seams of coal we work on here, the Mary Lee Formation and the Blue Creek Formation. He said, we found a petrified tree, letter H, running through the Mary Lee down about 30 feet. When we got to the Blue Creek, we found letter A here running up. He said, those two seams of coal had to form at the same time. Whoa. Specimen Ridge, 27 consecutive rows of trees. Here's a 30-foot petrified tree standing up, running from one seam of coal through another seam of coal. Why don't some of you that work in the coal mine or know somebody, why don't you use that, if that's your skill, use it to teach creation? What are you doing, for heaven's sake? Find something to do. How many kids are being taught this stupid geologic column in this town? Thousands. Do something about it. Joggins, Nova Scotia has hundreds and hundreds of petrified trees standing up, running through all these layers. Well, then why are we teaching the kids the layers are different ages? Call Ian Juby. He works up there, ianjuby.org. Yeah, petrified trees running, standing up through all the layers. And nobody stops to think, now hold on, wait a minute. How can we teach the kids these layers are different ages? This is the Bible for the atheist, and it's being taught all over here. And you're paying to have this taught to the kids in the schools, aren't you? We're all supporting the schools. I just have a hard time believing that. And I wish some people would say, you know, I'm going to make it my ministry to teach the truth. You can take a jar, just get a glass jar, put some sand, gravel, mud, rocks, water in there, and shake it up. It'll settle down into layers for you in seconds, won't it? It's true the earth has different layers of rock, but it's not true they're different ages. Somebody ought to do something about that. Maybe that could be your ministry. Petrified trees in the vertical position. This fish fossil was found standing on its nose. The nose was in rock 1 million years older than the rest of the body. Oh. Did the fish balance there for 1 million years? Sometimes the trees are upside down running through all the layers. Hold on. The tree grew the wrong way for millions of years before it finally figured it out. To me, this is one of the biggest enemies we've got in our country, and we're paying to have it to be taught. It was made up in 1830. Do something about it. I debate these atheists all the time, and they go right with it. Oh, yeah, we all. And they make these family trees. Yes, boys and girls, the humans, the birds, and the reptiles, and the ladybugs. Oh, and the trees, and the worms had a common ancestor. Is that kind of stuff being taught in your school? Yeah. The Bible says they bring forth after their kind. Dogs always make baby dogs. Cows make baby cows. There are no exceptions. None. But the kids in school are taught all the forms of life on earth today are descended from a common ancestor. This is propaganda. This isn't science. Found in a primitive, no traces of these events remain. What? We know what happened, but we don't have any proof. Is that what they're saying? Yes, boys and girls, the humans and the ferns, look at that, and the sharks and the starfish and the octopus all came from a common ancestor. Here we go. The protozoa slowly turned to a biology teacher. Folks, this is in the public school textbook. Some kid's going to see this tomorrow, and the teacher's going to say, you know, everything we see is related. The Bible says they're going to bring forth after their kind 24 times in the first 7 chapters. I think God wanted us to get a message. And I think if you're a Christian, do something about this. This is propaganda. This chart is used in a public school. Yep, you're related to a jellyfish. You know, we teach the kids you're nothing but an animal. And then we sit back and wonder, why did they act like animals? Duh. I ask atheists all the time. I say, guys, I have a simple question for you. If evolution is true, how do you tell right from wrong? How do you tell? How do you measure right from wrong? Would it be wrong to go next door and kill your neighbor's baby and eat it? No. The lion does it to the zebra all the time. Doesn't he? Is anybody out there trying to stop the lion from eating the baby zebra? Is it okay for him to do it, but it's not okay for a human to do it? See, we have taken away kids' foundation. They don't have a way to measure right from wrong. I was in a debate one time, and we got on this abortion topic. Is it okay for a mother to abort her baby? And he said, oh, yeah, it's perfectly fine to abort a baby. It's not a human yet. I said, okay, let me ask you a question. If a woman kills her baby 5 months before it's born, abortion, is that legal? He said, yeah. I said, what if the woman kills the baby 5 minutes before it's born? Would that be legal? He said, yeah. What if she kills it 5 minutes after it's born? Hey, it's only 10-minute difference. Come on now, would that be right or wrong? What if she kills it 5 months after it's born? I got an idea. Let's extend abortion rights up until the kids are 18. I know a lot of parents that thought about it a time or two. Come on now, be honest. Okay. See, this is where atheists don't have a standard. How do you measure right from wrong? You're going to vote on abortion and you don't even know right from wrong? Where's the standard? The guys that started this country said, we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. They're endowed by their creator with certain rights. Where do rights come from? The creator. And we need to get some more people in Congress that got that attitude. Hey, I'm going to see what the book says, read what God says, and make my decisions based upon what God says. But if you believe this and you're related to a mosquito and a worm and a starfish, you don't have a standard to judge by. I just wish, I wanted to fire people up on this trip. I got to go. Would you start some kind of ministry? Everybody can do something. I'll tell you what, there are maybe even thousands of anti-Kent Hovind videos out there. Websites, YouTube channels, they hate me. We need somebody to just sit at their computer and cut and paste responses to these atheists. Type up a paragraph, say, would you be willing to debate Kent Hovind on this? And post it in their channel. And when they say no, send me their name. We're keeping a list of all the professors that refuse to debate. Rub their nose in it. It could be, if you're good at keyboard stuff, well, instead of playing video games, do something for the Lord with your skill. We need Christians to say, Lord, what can I do? What wilt thou have me to do? What's God calling you to do? Maybe you're not even listening. What are you doing with your life? You got one life. I want to stand before God and say, God, I ran as fast as I could. I did what I could. The guy in Dallas I told you about in Sunday school, he said, Lord, Brother Hovind, I'm going to make copies of your tapes. He made 46,000 last I heard. That's his ministry, passing out DVDs. Well, that's fine. I'm not worried about copyright and all that stuff. Pass them out. Do something. There's a war going on. Look, if you can't shoot, you could carry the bullets. You could take care of the wounded. You could pay for the bullets. Can't you find something to do? I want to challenge you. I want to come back to this church someday and see it jam-packed with people. I'd like to see a dinosaur adventureland here in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Yeah. It could be real small. Somebody could do dinosaur birthday parties. Somebody ought to teach creation to these kids that are being taught evolution. How many of you kids in this room go to public school and are taught the earth is millions of years old? Come on now. How many are not paying attention? Okay. There's a war going on. Maybe you could make it your mission field to reach the teachers. Maybe you could make it a mission field to write letters to prisoners that are in prison. That's a ministry somebody ought to do. Just encourage them. Write them letters. Maybe you could go to the hospital where people are sick and say, let me just sit and pray with you, and leave them a gospel tract. I make paper airplanes for kids that go 300 feet, but each one's got the gospel plan of salvation in it. Well, next time I come, we'll do that. Paper airplanes go. Records 420 feet. I go three times higher than your church with a paper airplane. They go so far, if they don't land in a tree or on a building, they go all the way to the ground. Yeah. Make bookmarkers. I can show you how to make a cool bookmarker with the gospel plan of salvation on it. Find something to do. I don't know if there's a wrong way to pass out the gospel, but can't you find something to do? I just would encourage you, would you please say, Lord, I would like to serve you. Atheist's last words. Let me show you a couple of these. While I lived, I provided for everything but death. Now I must die, and I'm unprepared to die. Huh, sad. Thomas Paine, famous atheist here in America. Was he in Pennsylvania? I think he was. He said, stay with me for God's sake. I cannot bear to be left alone. Oh, Lord, help me. God, what have I done to suffer so much? What will I become of me hereafter? I would give worlds if I had them that the Age of Reason had never been published. He wrote the book, Atheism, to turn people away from God in the 1700s in this area. Thomas Paine. He said, oh, Lord, help me. Christ, help me. No, don't leave. Stay with me. Send even a child to stay with me. I'm on the edge of hell here alone. If the devil had an agent, I have been that one. Famous atheist quotes. They know they're going to die, and they know it's not good. Joseph Stalin, founder of communism over there in Russia, he was scared stiff when he died. Anton LaVey, Gandhi. At his death, for the first time in 50 years, I find myself in a slough of despond. It's darkness all about me. He taught a lot of people, oh, just meditate. Look at your belly button for a couple hours, and you'll be fine. What's your ministry? Not what's your job, where do you work? What's your ministry? Do you have one? If you don't, why not? Get one. Let's pray. Let's all stand and let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you told us clearly to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.